Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Eina Tevel Mitchev B'maser Ad Shirei Pnei Abayit. So Rabbi makes a statement that in order to become Tevel, in order for produce to become Chayev in Maaser, it not only has to be processed in the field, but Ad Shirei Pnei Abayit, until it is brought into the house, until it's brought through the front doors of the house, as opposed to other ways that you could bring into the house, which Rashi mentions over here in the Gemara and other places mentions, is Derek Gagot V'Karpifot. If he brings it through the backyard or through the roof, that would not be Mechayavit in Maaser, Shenemar. Be'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit, in the requirement to remove the Maasrot, or to give out the Maasrot that you haven't given until this point, it says, Be'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit, that I've removed the Kodesh from the house, which implies that the way it became Kodesh was by the fact that it entered in the house. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, that it's enough simply if it enters into the chatzer to become chayav and maser, you don't actually need it to enter into the house. Why? Shenemar v'achulu b'sharecha v'saveyu, that you will eat it in your chatzer, b'sharecha, in your gateways, and you will be satisfied. So it sounds from there that the chiyuv ha-maser already exists at the point of time when it enters into your she'arim or into your chatzer. And the Gemara asks, each one of these two opinions also has the other pasuk. How do they deal with it? So b'yochanan nami aktiv min habayit. What is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yanai of Min HaBayit? Amar lecha, chatzer dumnia debayit. That, true, you are chayev once it enters the chatzer. But what type of chatzer are you chayev in? That'll be defined by the word bayit. Ma bayit ha-mishtamer, av chatzer ha-mishtameret. Just like a house is a place that is considered to be safe and protected, so too a chatzer, the only chatzer that is mechayev you in trumot and masorot, or is mechayev to be mafrish masorot, is a chatzer hamishtameret, is a chatzer that is considered to be safe and protected. Rabbi Yanai nami aktiv bisharecha. What does Rabbi Yanai do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan of bisharecha? So he says, hamabaylei dema'aylei derech shar, that he has to bring it in through the shar. Afuke derech gagot v'karpifiyot tolo. That's what we mentioned above, that when we say entering into the house, it only means the house, derech hashar, derech the normal way, the doorway into the house. But if you somehow bring the produce into the house in an alternative manner, either through the roof or through the backyard, then would not be chayav in masrot, the tevel would not be chayav in masrot. So meitiv Rav China Choza, so the reason that this Gemara is here is because of the question now that we're going to ask on the limud that we just had, kenaf shecha, that we just saw before on the pasuk, dealing with the rights of a poel to eat in the field, it says kenaf shecha savecha, kach nafsho shel poel. Just like you act, so is your nefesh of your poel. Ma nafshecha ochelu patur. Just like if you eat, you are not required to take off trumot maserot. Af nafsho shel poel ochelu patur. So too, the poel, the worker, is patur when he eats out in the field. And we discussed yesterday that Rashi says that since he's collecting this food as part of his salary, you don't say that automatically. That's a mekach or a transaction. And if it's a transaction, then the poel should become chayav in trumot maserot right away. The fact that he doesn't is based on the pasuk. Ha, but based on this, we can conclude lokeach chayav, that someone who did purchase it would be chayav. Meaning that this is an exemption for the poel, it's an exemption for the worker, but in a normal transaction, in a normal case where someone purchased the produce, they would be chayav in masrot. So now, how could that be? My lav bisadeh. Aren't we talking about, according to Rashi, we're talking about out in the field, and if we're talking about out in the field, that means if someone purchases produce in the field, they'll become chayav in masrot right away. But you just indicated, at least both according to Rabbi Yanai and according to Rabbi Yochanan over here, that you're only chayav once it either enters the chatzer or it enters into the bayit. So how could we have a case here where lokeach will be chayav when he purchases it out in the field, when according to both of those opinions, there is no chiyuv until it's entered into the chatzer of the house? So that's what Rashi says. And Rashi says, because purchasing umekach lo adif migmar malacha. Purchasing is no better than completion of the work that has to be done on any given produce. That means that if one is chayav already when they purchase the produce, that would mean that they should be chayav also when the gmar malacha is done. Once the work or the processing of the fruit is done, that should make you chayav and not require you to enter into the pnei abayit or into the chatzer. So that's the question according to Rashi. Tosus disagrees and says that that is not the question in our case, but rather that when it comes to buying lokeach, we know that mekach is koveya b'davar shenigmar melachto d'maaser, that when something has been completed, when it has to be processed completely, and then a purchaser comes along and buys it, that he's chayav in masrot. So now the question is according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Anai, who neither of them distinguish in any case. They both say or make a categorical statement that it has to be riyat pnei abayit or riyat pnei achatzir until one is chayav. Where is the exemption for the fact that if one purchases it, then they are chayav right away, irrespective of whether it enters in the pnei abayit or the pnei achatzir? So the fact that they made a categorical statement without talking about this exemption or not, or the exception of the case of Lokeach, that's the question of the Gemara over here, as opposed to Rashi, who thinks the question has to do with the equation between Lokeach and Gemar Melacha, and therefore, if Lokeach is Chayav, then Gemar Melacha in itself should be Chayav. So now the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the case is. This is a new case. Amar Rav Papa, Hocha b'teina umedet b'gina, v'nofeh notel l'chatzer. It's a case where the fig tree is actually standing outside, but it has a branch that hangs over into the chatzer. Askinan ulamanda amar the bayit, and the one who says that you're not chayim into the house, the bayit, then the branch is entering into the house, goes through one of the windows into the house. Where it says, if that's the case, then the baal bayit himself should be chayav. Why? Because here you have a tree that's hanging outside the chatzer, standing outside the bayit, but it has a branch with fruits on it that are hanging inside the chatzer, inside the bayit. So therefore, as soon as you pick it, it's seen riyat pnei chatzer, or it's seen riyat pnei abayit. If that's the case, then not only should be the buyer should be chayav, even if the baal bayit picks it off the tree and eats it, he should also be chayav in masrot. So Gemara says, baal bayit einav b'teinato, v'lokeach einav b'mekcho. So the Rashi explains this is that the buyer is focused on the fruits that he purchased. The fruits that he purchased are on this branch that are hanging into the chatzer, or the branch that's hanging into the bayit. So he looks at that singular entity that has the fruits on it which he's purchasing, and that's the branch that's hanging into the chatzer and the bayit. And therefore, he is chayav right away in Masrot, because it has riyat pnei chatzer, riyat pnei abayit. On the other hand, the balabayit, the owner of the fig tree, does not look at any singular branch. He looks at the tree in its whole or its entirety. Since he looks at the whole or the ikar, the trunk of the tree, is mechutz labayit or chutz lechatzer. So therefore, for the buyer, when he takes these fruits, he's looking at the portion that's inside the chatzer or the bayit, and therefore he will be chayav in masrot right away, because he's accomplished riyat pnei abayit or riyat pnei chatzer. On the other hand, the balabayit, the owner of the tree, focuses on the tree in its entirety. The trunk or outside the chatzer. So he looks at that tree as the entity, and if he looks at the tree, that doesn't have riyat pnei abayit, riyat pnei chatzer. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that he doesn't like Rashi's interpretation of, because according to Rashi's interpretation, if the tree was entirely in the chatzer, then one would be chayav. Even the baal habayit would be chayav. Tosfos, on the other hand, runs the distinction differently and says it depends on what's considered the goren. The goren is the bringing in the entirety of the produce that's there. So for the purchaser, the goren is the fruits that he purchased, so that branch that's hanging into the chatzer, into the bayit, because that's what he purchased. And for him, when he brings in that goren, that's the completion of the process in order for him to be chayav in masrot. On the other hand, since the baal habayit is focused on the entirety of the tree, or the entire tree, therefore, he doesn't look at it on a fruit-by-fruit basis, but rather looks at the entire production of the tree. So until he's brought in the entire production of the tree, that will not be classified as a goren or a gemar melacha for him to be chayav in masrot. So therefore, according to Tosfot, even if the tree is standing entirely in the chatzer, for there will be a distinction between the lokeach, the buyer, and the baal habayit. For the lokeach, again, the goren is simply the fruits that he purchased or he's focused on, the one or two fruits, that's the goren for him. On the other hand, for the baal habayit, it's not classified as a goren until he clears off the whole tree, brings in everything from the tree. So according to Tosfos here, the distinction between baal habayit and lokeach has to do with their perspective on the production, or what's classified as the production that they need to bring in. Whereas according to Rashi, the distinction really has to do with location. And location being that my focus on either the tree in its entirety is a baal habayit, but it's located outside, or for the purchaser, it's focused on the branch or the fruits that he purchased, which are actually inside. But had the tree been entirely on the inside, then even for the baal habayit, that would have been classified as riyat pnei chatzer or riyat pnei habayit. Nevertheless, we've dealt with the question of the Gemara. From our previous Gemara, we dealt with the fact that why does a pu'el patur from Masrot, whereas the Lokeach would be Chayav. So we said this is an interesting case, or unique case, of where the Lokeach would be Chayav and the baal habayit would be patur. And that's how we explain exemption of the Poel, whereas the Lokeach will be Chayav, because the Poel is equal to the baal habayit. And that will leave us, or not be a question, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, the requirement in order to be Chayav Masrot is Riyat Pnei Chatzer and Riyat Pnei HaBayit. So Gemara says, challenges the underlying premise of our Gemara over here, which is lokeach midoraita mimechayev. Seems from the Gemara until this point that one of the kuvim for maaser, one of the things that drives or creates a situation where one would be chayav in maaserot is if he makes a purchase. Gemara says, since when min haTorah is a purchaser chayav in maaserot? V'atanya, we have a brisa mipama charvu chaniot shel beit hino. Since why were the shuk or the stores of Beit Hino, which seems to be a place that was proximate or outside, right outside of Yerushalayim, Shloshanim Kodem Yerushalayim, they were stored 3 years before Yerushalayim itself was destroyed. Mipnei she'emidu divreim al divrei Torah, because they held of divrei Torah. I mean, they paskined that the chiyuv masrot was only like the din Torah and not like the din derabanan. Shayu omrim, because what was their din or what was their psak halacha that they learned? Aser taser, it says in the pasuk in Dvarim, it says aser taser it's called tuvat zaracha. So this juxtaposition of the pasuk of aser taser to the word avachalta afterwards teaches us that aser taser, when you chayv in masrot, is vachalta, when you eat it, velo mocher, not when you sell it. And then it says in the pasuk aser taser it's called what zaracha, which sounds like your production, velo lokech, not if you purchased it. So based on this, the limud of the people of Beit Hino, which was acknowledged by the Braisa to be a valid limud min haTorah, means that only one who produces their own or is actually eating their own produce in the end will be chayav in masrot, not if you sell it and not if you purchase it. Tosfos over here mentions, we won't get into this stugia, but there's a machlokus between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbi Yitzchak of Rabbi Mordechai. When we're talking about here over here that a lokeach and a mocher a patur midoraisa, that means after Gemar Malacha, only after the item has been processed past the point of Gemar Malacha, then he's patur? Or does it mean before? Only before Gemar Malacha is he patur if he purchases it. But if it's after Gemar Malacha, since it's already chayav, he'd be chayav. Absi machlokus Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Yitzchak be Rabbi Mordechai. You can look at it, it's on the Tosus, the last Tosus on the previous Amud. So from that, we see that it's only a din d'rabbanon that a lokeach, that a buyer must be mafrish trumot masrot. So how could it be here that we would have a limud min haTorah to teach us that a poel is exempted from trumot masrot, just like the bala bayit is exempt from trumot masrot when he eats out in the field, when he takes bites off the tree before it's brought into the goren or brought into the house? Meaning that if the diuk out of the Gemara is that, a poel is patur, but a lokeach is chayav, then the implications are that the reason we need the patur here is to tell us that the poel, the worker, is not considered like a lokeach, not considered like a purchaser, because he's getting this as his salary. But why do we need that at all? According to the Torah, a purchaser is never chayav. So why would you have a posuk in the Torah to tell you that a poel is patur if a lokeach is never chayav? It's true that it's only a din d'rabbanan. The din of lokeach is only a din d'rabbanan, and the p'tur of a poel is a din d'rabbanan also. And the posuk that they're bringing to say that a poel is p'tur in this case is simply an asmachto. It's simply a din d'rabbanan that's being sumech on the psukim that lokeach is chayav only mid'rabbanan, and a poel is p'tur mid'rabbanan. If that's the case, then before when we said that you had to darshan all the whole pasuk of the ki tavo b'kem re'echa, which was considered to be extraneous, then what do we do with this word of nafshecho? So the Gemara says, no problem. So elam nafshecho l'mayatuk l'tanya, we need for a brisa, ki nafshecho, ma nafshecho m'schamta patur. Just like you, if you muzzled yourself and went and worked in the field, you'd be patur, because the restriction to muzzle an animal is lo tachshom shor b'disho, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal. Apoel imchasamta patur, also if you muzzle your worker, then you're also patur, that you're allowed to muzzle the worker. What does it mean to muzzle the worker? So Rashi says, either katzatza damim shlo lechol, either you paid him and said he cannot eat, you gave him extra compensation and he said he can't eat, or by force, meaning that you actually muzzled him and he can't eat. So is there a problem of chisum poel? So from nafshecha we learn that the poel has the same din as you. And just like by you, as the owner, there's no problem if you muzzle yourself and go out and work in the field, so too by the poel, if you go muzzle him and put him out in the field, either by a remuneration that causes him not to do it, or by force that you muzzle him, you're patur, you're allowed to do that. So that's what we learn from that. So Mar says, Meitiv Mar Zutra, Ezehu Gornan Lamasrot, Bikishuim Ubdulim. So these are continued to be questions on the positions of Rabbi Anai and Rabbi Yochanan before, that in order to be Chayab in Masrot, you need either Riyat Pnei Abayit or bring it into the Shara Chatzir. So here we have a Mishnah in Masrot that says that when is the Gorin for Masrot, Bikishuim Ubdulim? When it comes to zucchinis and gourds, when do they become Chayab in Masrot? Mishipaksu. What is Mishipaksu? Is when they have the flour that is on the zucchini or on even a cucumber or on a gourd, they have a flower that is attached to the vegetable, and then when that flower begins to fall off, when it's taken off, that's when you become chayav in masrot. What does it mean, mishi paksu? It means when they actually have it removed. My love, so what does it sound like, mishi paksu afilu basadeh? That even when you remove the flower out in the field, that will make you chayav in masrot, and not require riyat pnei bayit, riyat pnei achatzir. Where it says, no, mishi paksu babayit, only after you removed it once it's entered into the house. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, hihachi mishi paksu. What does it mean, once the flower has been removed? Once the flower has been removed, or mishi paksu, the flowering, it should say, the way the Mishnah reads, and the way Rabbi Asi's explanation sounds like that immediately upon the removal of the flower, immediately on the flowering, is when you're chayav in masrot. But it's not true. It's not just when you remove it. There's another requirement, which is that you must have riyat pnei abayit, riyat pnei achatzer. That would make more sense if it said, achi paksu mi bayile, that until it's removed. Until removed means at a later time. What's that later time? When it has riyat pnei abayit or pnei achatzer. It's not any time you remove it that you're chayav. It's only once it's removed in these circumstances, so the Mishnah would have written better. Where it says, no, you can't write that. Itana achi paksu. Had I said until the flowering, or meaning the flower is removed, havin ad gemarli paksayu. That's only when we thought that they were totally removed that you would be chayav kamashlan. Misha paksu is michiat chilu pikusayu. It doesn't have to mean that they are totally and completely removed, but rather it's only once the process starts, once they start to dry out, or once they start to be removed. That's enough in order to be classified as Gemar Melocha for Ma'asrot. So Mazutra has a question over here from the Mishnah Ma'asrot, which seems to indicate that there is a specific time period or action that's taken which makes them Chayav Ma'asrot. Nothing to do with Riyat Pnei Abayit or Riyat Pnei Achatzer. The Gemara answers up, no. That really, it is have to do with Riyat Pnei Achatzer, Riyat Pnei Abayit. And you have to wait. It's not just the removal of the flower. It's not just the flowering that causes you to be Chayav, but it has to be after the Abayit. So why doesn't the Mishnah, Lashon, the Mishnah reflect that delay in time? That's because if we had reflected that delay in time, we would think that it's only once you totally and completely have removed the flower that you'd be chayav, not once it starts to dry out or the beginning of that process. And the Mishnah comes to teach us that even once you've had riyat pnei abayit, riyat pnei achatzer, the smallest removal or the beginning of that removal, the beginning of that drying out, is what makes you chayav in masrot at that point in time. Tosfos asks over here that generally we say that when you bring something in that does not have a gemar melacha into the house, then you actually patur mitzvah masrot, meaning that bringing it in without a gemar melacha and then finishing that melacha in the house makes you patur by chitim. So Tosfos in the end, it's the end of this Tosfos lo mishpaksu b'bayit, makes a distinction between chitim and other fruits and vegetables. He says v'yesh lomar devaday chitim v'sarim shedarkan lemirchan basadeh. That's only vegetables or produce which normally have a gemar melacha out in the field. For instance, miruach hakri, the flattening out of the pile and putting them into a pile and flattening them out, that is done outdoors. Then ulachnis in labayit mimurachim ein mechuvim b'maser elim inkein re'u pnei abayit mimurachim. Then if you bring them into the house before the pile up and the flattening of the pile is done, then to complete that process in the house will make you patur for maser, because then bringing them into the house riyat pnei abayit is not valuable without the gemar melacha, because the gemar melacha is normally done in the field, and if you do it in the house, that makes you patur for masrot. Aval kishuim v'duluim, but when it comes to zucchinis and gourds, regilo lachnis amabaitim apikus, it's normal to bring them into the house still with the flowers on. And since it's normal to bring them into the house with the flowers on, therefore, when you finish up that process in the house, that's not considered or classified as not being bringing it to the house without the gemar melacha, because that's not unusual. Since it's not unusual, then even if you do the gemar melacha in the house, that will still qualify as riyat pnei abayit, even though the gemar melacha is done inside the bayis. So that is a important distinction that the Tosfos makes between chitim and kishuim and dilim, but it can be made by any produce or any types of fruits and vegetables. It has to do with where the normal place to process these items is. If the normal way to process them is outside the abayit, then if you bring them in before they're processed and process them in the abayit, you'll be patur maser. The other hand, if it's normal to bring them into the house and then take care of this item that brings them to gemar melacha, then that will be qualified as riyat pnei abayit. If you do that process in the abayit, you will be chayav in masrot. So now, Meitiv Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman. So now, we have another question from Marzutra. Gorno l'maser l'chayel v'lav mishum tevel. When is the Gorin classified to make you chayev in Masrot? Mishi digmar melechtan. When whatever process that needs to be done is finished, the process there is, defining processes, but the completion of the process to make them into edible food, then that's when you become chayev. Vezu gmar melechtan. What is classified as gmar melechtan? Lechet Achnasatan. That is the ingathering or the gathering together of all the produce. So Gemara says, "My love, achnasatam, afilu b'sadet." Sounds like that all you have to do is bring them together or gather all the produce together. Where or how do you gather all the produce together? It could be even out in the field. So this will be a question again on Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Yochanan, require riyat pnei abayit riyat pshara chatzer. Right over here, it sounds like you just put them all together. You gather everything together in the field. That would be classified as b'chayvim masrot. So Gemara says, "No." Achnasan abayit, achnasatan abayit. When we say achnasa, it means to bring them literally into the house. Zehu gemar melachtan. So that's the answer. One answer to this question of Mazutra is that simply achnasatam does not mean gathering them in the fields, but rather gathering them into the house. Vibai seimo. There's another answer. Ki gamar Rabbi Yannai b'zeitim ba'anavim. T'la b'nei gorin ninhu. When did Rabbi Yannai make a statement of the requirement of riat p'nei abayit? That is only when we were talking about olives and grapes. Because they don't have a goren. Goren means that they're not gathered together outside in the field. They don't get piled up and worked and processed out in the field. And therefore, they require riat pnei abayit in order to be chayav. Aval chitim visorim goren behejektiv bay. The psukim explicitly state by produce that there's a goren. When do you become chayav? Is in the goren. Once they're brought in to be processed. When they're gathered together to be processed. Ktiv bay. So therefore, the application of that din is only where but gomen is mechayev used by chitin sorim, which is explicitly written in the psukim. On the other hand, by grapes and olives, which are not explicitly written in the psukim, there you need to bring them into the pnei abayit, riyat pnei abayit, riyat pnei chater, in order to be chayav. Now Tosfos asks a question. True, chitin and sorim are mentioned explicitly in the pasuk, but so is tirosh v'yitzar. That's tirosh and yitzar is talking about olive oil and wine. So olives and grapes are also mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. So Tosfos makes a distinction here and says that in Ochanami, according to this answer, right, there will also be olive oil and wine will have the same din as chitin and sorin, which is that they have a proper goren. They have a proper process. We're gathering together where they are processed, and that will make you chayav and maser. What Rabbi Yannai's statement is talking about, what the Gemara is talking about here about anavim and zeitim is talking about when you bring them in to eat. When you're going to eat the grapes, or you're going to eat the olives, those are not explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, and they're not explicitly mentioned in the Pasuk, and therefore their Chiyuv Masrot, according to Rabbi Yannai, is defined as Riyat Pnei Abayit, or according to Rabbi Yochanan as Riyat Pnei Chatzer. And Rashi points out that we have many other times in Shas that the Gemara says that one of the Turim of for instance, tvuah for grains is to bring them in through the roof. If you bring them in an unusual way, not riat pnei abayit, that's a case where you would not be chayav masrot. So Rashi says this can't be that these gemaras in other places are not according to this second answer, because the second answer clearly makes that distinction that it's irrelevant. Riat pnei abayit is irrelevant for grains, but it must be according to the first answer, which you said before, that achnasatan means achnasatan labayit, bring them into the house, and then it would have application to everything. Riat pnei abayit would be a requirement for not only for zeitim and avnim, but also for grains. So now the Gemara says, goes back to our original, or to our Mishnah, and says, Ashkacham adam b'mechubar b'shor b'talush. We know that a individual, a laborer, can eat with that which is mechubar attached, meaning in the time of the Gemara Malacha, and shor b'talush. We know that a shor has the right to eat stuff that is detached, because it's lotachshom shor b'disho. Disho, the items are already detached. Now, what about the other side of this? How do we know that an adam, a person, can eat from the talush? And how do we know that a shor can eat from the mechubar by the shat Gemara Malacha? So Gemara says, Ashkachan adam mechubar b'shor b'talush, adam b'talush minalan. How do we know that a person can eat, like our mission says, with talush, that which is separated? Kavachomer mishor. Learn that from a shor. Why? Mashor sheinu ochel b'mechubar, a shor, which we don't know from the psukim, can eat by the Gemara Malacha b'chubar ochel b'talush, but he eats from stuff that's already separated, which is b'disho, and when they're dash, he's allowed to eat the produce there, lo tachshom shor b'disho. Adam shochel b'mechubar, which we just learned from our psukim, ev ki tavo b'kamat re'acha, that we learned out that a person can eat b'shat Gemara Malacha enu din shochel b'talush, then certainly he should be able to eat like by the talush. Gemara says, ma'la shor shkenata mitzuveh al chasimato. Shor has a chumrah. The chumrah by a shor is that you're not allowed to be machsom, you're not allowed to muzzle a shor. By a person, you're not required not to muzzle them. We just saw that. That was our limud from the word kanafshecha. Just like you're not required not to muzzle yourself, you're not required not to muzzle your polim, your workers. Alright, we can solve that problem. Maybe a person should also be required not to muzzle another individual from a kavachomer mishor. Assure that you're not required to sustain or support. You're not allowed to muzzle. Adam sheyata mutzuveh l'chachayoto. If it comes to a person which you have an obligation to take care of them, which we're going to see in the Gemara coming up, is b'chei achicha imach, that you're required to support your fellow Jew, your fellow human being. Certainly you should be required not to muzzle him. That's what we learned about. The Pasuk says kenaf shecha. So kenaf shecha, kenaf sho sho poel. Man of sho im chisamato patur. Af poel im chasatamato patur. Just like by you. Benik masho. That if by yourself, if you muzzled yourself, you're patur. Af poel. Also the worker, if you puzzle him, you are patur. So we have a specific limud from the Pasuk that teaches us that you can't learn this kav chomer from a shor to an adam. That even though a shor you're not allowed to muzzle, an adam you are allowed to muzzle because we have an explicit pasuk that teaches you that. If that's the case, then shor has a chumrah. If shor has a chumrah, then you can't learn a kal v'chumrah from shor to teach us by adam, by a person that he's allowed to eat mitalush. He's allowed to eat with that which is already detached. So if that's the case, adam b'talush milon. How do we know that a poel, a worker, can eat that which is already attached? Amar kra kama kama bez pe'amim. That the pasuk says the word kama twice. Since we used the word kama already to teach us about all items that are attached, bizman gmar melacha, so we used the word kama once already. But there's the kama that again appears in the pasuk. So the second time it appears, we don't need to teach about attached produce anymore because it's already learnt out of the first word kama. So then we'll say menul inyan mechubar, tneul inyan betalush. Then we'll use the second word kama to teach us that a man can even eat. Meaning a poel can even eat betalush, that which is already separated. Rami Amar, Adam betalush lo tzarich kra. Adam, by separated items, doesn't need a pasuk. Tiv, ki tavo bekerem reacha. All the pasuk says is when you come into your friend's vineyard. Milo askinan shesachro de katef. Who says that you actually hired him to pick the grapes off at the end? Maybe you hired him to carry the grapes from the part of harvest into the yacht, into the wine press. Barmachman alechol, and the pasuk there says he's allowed to eat. True, we know it has to be at the time of chermesh. We knew that it has to be at the time. Or vel el kel yecha lo titain, that you're not allowed to put into your kelim, but it's the kelim of the Baal Bayit. So we know it's around the time of the harvest, but it doesn't tell us particularly what malacha we are asking the poel to do at the time of the harvest. One malacha is to actually harvest, but the other malacha can be to carry the grapes from the harvested area to the gat. And over there, the Torah still says he can eat, and that's by talush. That's already talush, and therefore we can learn it out of the pasuk itself that a poel can eat from the talush. We don't need a limud from kama kama according to Rav Ami. Now the Gemara says we're still left with shor mechubar minalan. How do we know that a shor can eat bit mechubar, that which is attached? Now we've learned three of the limudim of the Mishnah. We haven't got this fourth one. Gemara says kavachomer meadam. Why don't we learn out a kavachomer from a person? Ma adam sheno ochel betalush. Adam that doesn't eat betalush ochel bemechubar is allowed to eat mechubar. I mean, this is the assumption before we knew that Adam does eat betalush. So now he is allowed to eat mechubar. Shor sheochel betalush enu din sheochel bemechubar. Right, so then a shor which is allowed to eat betalush, isn't it a din that he can eat b'mechubar? So either you have to say that, again, the Gemara is doing this, preempting this, doing this before the fact that they knew that Adam eats betalush, or even after they know that, since it's not explicitly written in the Pasuk, therefore the Gemara is premising the Kal v'chomer on the fact that it's not written in the Pasuk explicitly. So here we have a shor that eats betalush is explicit in the Pasuk, and Adam doesn't eat betalush, and he eats b'mechubar, so then enu din shochel b'mechubar, then certainly a shor should be able to eat with that which is attached, the Zman Gemar Malacha. Where it says, there's a chumra by an Adam. What is that? Ma Adam sheken atam mitzuveh l'chachayoto. By an Adam, you're chayav to sustain or support your fellow man, your fellow Jew. By an animal, there's no requirement of you to sustain the animals. Well, why don't we just learn out that you are chayav to sustain your shor? Why? By an adam, we just learned from the word kanaf shecha that you're not required not to muzzle him. Nevertheless, you have to sustain or support him. Sure, where we have this chumra that you're not allowed to muzzle it. Certainly, maybe you should be obligated or required to support and take care of this shor. It says, the pasuk says, the requirement to sustain or take care of your fellow Jew is from v'chei achicha imach. Achicha v'lo shor means your fellow Jew and not an animal. So v'lo shor mechubar minolan. So how do we know where we have a limud of the word shor? Where it says, amar kara re'acha re'acha beiz pe'amim. It says the word re'acha twice. in the psukim that we quoted above, because it says ki tavo bekerem re'acha, and it also says ki tavo bekamat re'acha. So over there it says re'acha twice. So the Gemara says, well, re'acha teaches us im enu inyan le'adam b'mechubar, t'nei inyan shor b'mechubar. Since we know that the Adam is learnt out from these psukim of re'acha, that he is allowed to eat when it comes to harvesting b'gmar melacha, at the end of the processing, one is allowed to eat. So then the other re'acha, which is extraneous, will use it. Since we don't need it for Adam anymore, we'll use it to teach us the b'shor, by an animal, that he's allowed to eat b'mechubar at the time of the zman of the gmar melacha. Where it says, Ravina amar lo Adam betalush v'losh mechubar tzrichei kray. We don't need psukim for that which is not explicitly written in the psukim. What we know from the psukim is that a shor can eat betalush at the processing, like in the daish, when he's dash, when they are trampling or crushing the grains. It says, lo tachsom shor b'dishon. We know that explicitly from the pasuk. By Adam, we also know that he can eat bezman gemar melacha, because you have the psukim of ki tavo b'kamat re'acha and ki tavo b'kerem re'acha. So we know a plowel is allowed to eat at the zman of gemar melacha, the time of the harvest. So that we know exclusively in the psukim. But the other tzadim, which the Gemara now has limudim for, either for Adam b'talush and shor b'mechubar, Ravina says they're not necessary. Why is that? K'dichtiv lo tachsom shor b'disho. The word shor here is extraneous. Why? It says, do not muzzle a shor when he is working. Michte kol milei itnehu b'chasima. Everything would have been included in chasima, meaning that why do you have to include shor? Shor means any animal. Teofina and shor mishabat. We learn out from the word shor to all animals. And now we have a limud by the Gemara in Baba Kama, went through this limud, that just like by shor and chamor that I mentioned shabbat, they're not particular to shor and chamor, but means kol b'amtecha, means any animal. So too, the shor that's mentioned by lo tachsom shor b'disho is only an example of one animal, but it means all animals. So im kein lichtov rachmana lo tidosh b'chasima. Don't do the melachav dash of the crushing of the grains. Don't do it when someone is muzzled. It doesn't have to write the word shor, meaning that it includes all animals. So why write the word shor? Shor dichtav rachmana lomali. Why is the word shor mentioned at all? Lakushe chosem lenechsam. That is to make a hekesh between the one who muzzles to the muzzled, and benechsam, the one who is muzzled, lechosem, the one who is muzzling. Just like the muzzler, the human being, is allowed to eat, the poel is allowed to eat b'mechubar, the shat gemar melacha, af nechsam. So too, the muzzled, meaning the shor, is allowed to eat b'shat gemar melacha, the time of the harvest, b'mechubar, ochel b'mechubar. Uma nechsam, just like the one who is muzzled, that is referring to the shor, ochel b'talush, is allowed to eat with, after zman gemar melacha, after it's been harvested and brought in and being processed, that they're allowed to eat of that produce, because it says, lo tachsom shor b'disho, av chosem. So too, the muzzler, ochel b'talush, can also eat at that period of time. So Ravina says that we don't need it. We have a hekesh between Adam and Behema, and since we know the din of talush by Behema, we know the din of mechubar by Adam, we can now exchange those two items through this hekesh, and therefore we'll know also mechubar by Behema and talush by Adam. Okay, we'll stop over here.